Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The Lord had seen the multitudes following him, and he went up into a mountain, and his disciples came to him, we read, and he spoke to them. And he declared the blessedness of those who have grace and seek to follow his ways. He declares also the spirituality of the law, describing the principles of his kingdom. And even in detail, he declared the righteousness of his kingdom in a specific way, which we are commanded to seek after and follow. And now he comes to the end of his sermon, and what he has preached would seem to involve self-denial at every step. And many would hear what he proclaimed, and they would think to themselves, this is hard. And they would no doubt seek an easier path. They would, many of them, take the road of ease and self-indulgence. And it would seem that many would never face the self-denial that Christ requires. But the Lord Jesus is telling us it must be faced, because the consequences of turning from his path are disastrous. Because the path that most love is a path that leads to hell. And the Lord says that the broad way that many are going in leads to destruction. On the other hand, there would be few who follow the teaching of Christ. And these are the ones who are intent on obtaining eternal life at whatever cost. And the Lord is saying that this is a straight gate. This is a narrow way. There is no room for the carnal mind and the self-indulgence that we all naturally love. There is not the luxury of a great company to travel with us. And the Lord Jesus is telling us to expect this. He is saying that the way to life is narrow, and few there be that find it. And he is telling us to be prepared for the difficulties that we may face. And do not be surprised, and do not stumble if no one goes with you, and that there are few, very few, that you meet along the way. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, to those who profess or claim to be his followers. And he is telling them, enter ye in at the strait gate. So he is warning all of us. And this portion of his truth is proclaimed to the general assembly, as it were, people of all types, and young and old, believers, those who are his disciples in name, as well as the world, all are directed to this path, this straight and narrow way. And we should ask ourselves, do we love life? Are we willing to be saved? Are we willing to be saved from our sins? And at whatever cost to us, Are we willing to follow Christ no matter what dangers we may encounter or difficulties that cross our path? Do we count the cost and recognize that strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it? And the Lord helping us with his direction and guidance by his Spirit, we would seek first to consider the broad way that leads to destruction, the broad way to destruction. And secondly, the narrow way to life, the narrow way to life. And thirdly, the duty to enter in at the strait gate. This is his call, the call of Christ. Enter ye in at the strait gate. Strive to enter, is what he says in another place. So we have these 3 points: the broad way to destruction, the narrow way to life, and thirdly, the duty to enter in at the strait gate. Strait means small or narrow. So both the gate and the way to life is narrow. But the way to destruction is very wide, very broad. And may the Lord open our eyes to see that danger and avoid it and seek life with all our heart. The broad way to destruction. There are, let's say, 2 roads to a city. One appears to be very narrow and looks like it will be a bumpy road. There's another road to the same city, speaking in a way of illustration. And this road has wide lanes, it's very smooth. And no wonder that most cars that are going to that city take that broad highway. It's very smooth. You can go very fast. You can seem to arrive at your destination with ease. And so it is no wonder that many, many are taking that broad way that leads to destruction. They don't see the destruction. They see the width, the breadth of the gate and the highway. They see the travelers. They see how smooth it is and how you can just coast along without meeting many obstacles. It's natural for us to look for the easy way, to follow that path that looks very pleasurable. And we're not ready to encounter difficulties. We don't like to fight battles. Most of us don't. We don't want to have to steer clear of the rocks and the potholes. We just want to go with the flow and follow that smooth and easy path. And spiritually, the way to destruction is wide and broad. And the fact is, all of us, by nature, have entered that gate. We have entered that path from the very gate of the womb. As the Bible says, from the womb speaking lies. Children are not taught to declare a falsehood. They don't have to learn how to lie. It comes naturally, sinfully naturally. And it's all evidence of a sinful nature. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born a sinner, is what David is saying there in Psalm 51, born a sinner. We don't like to submit to authority. We don't like restraint. We don't want God to rule over us. We are saying to the Most High, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. That is what we desire by nature: freedom from divine rule, freedom from God's authority. We are all like Pharaoh and saying, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And really, we deliberately enter that gate, that wide gate that many have entered by nature, but it's also by our deliberate choice, because our will is in sin. And that's original sin, that depravity of our human nature, the proneness of the will to sin. And so we, by choice, enter that wide gate, and many today are still by choice entering into that wide gate. They overlook the narrow gate. That's too hard. Let's find an easier way. Let's take this wide gate. Many are just going in one after another. It looks easy enough. Let's all go the broad way by choice. We all love permissiveness. People talk about love in the church, but as a fellow minister said, it's really just permissiveness. We just want to do as we please. We don't like to be curbed. We don't like our liberties curtailed. We don't want to be restrained. We don't like restrictions. You have your standard and I have mine, but as long as we just go along with what seems to make us all happy, then all is well. But truth is not relative. And the gospel remains unchanged. And the Lord Jesus has told us that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The Lord Jesus has told us what the regulations are, if we use that word. His own rules. There are 10 of them. 10 commandments. And he himself interprets them for us. And he shows it's not just the outward actions. As long as you don't hurt anyone, as long as you don't cheat and so on, then all is well. No, not the case at all. All is not well unless the Lord Jesus says your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. All is not well unless we have a love for righteousness. Our heart is in it. And we want to follow the ways of the Lord, not just outwardly, but inwardly. If we think that we can just get on with an outward conformity to the Ten Commandments, then we are totally wrong. We're on that broad way that many would like to think is the right way. Just keep the commandments outwardly and make sure you go to church and read your Bible and all is well. It's the broad way that leads to destruction. And the broad way allows for the indulgence of our natural inclinations. And that's why people take that broad way, because it's smooth and easy and fast, and there's nothing to stop up your path. It's easy to go along with what naturally comes out of our hearts, again, as long as you don't harm anyone else. Our own pride, ambitious purposes and pursuits, living to please the senses, as long as you don't do anything that's monstrous. You're allowed to have your desires, senses indulged. And it's walking after the flesh. And it's living according to the world. And Paul preaches the word of Christ and says, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't be on that broad path. It leads to destruction. The Lord, John the Apostle says, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is of the world and not of the Father. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. It terminates in hell. So we have all entered by nature that wide gate. And as we go on, we enter it by choice. And we're on that path that broad way that leads to destruction. And that's what the Lord says here. It leads to destruction. The path that the most take is a path that leads to hell. It's a statement of the Word of God that doesn't need to be qualified. It's obvious where the most are going, away from God. Society is not getting closer to God. Society is declining morally. We don't have to live very long in the world to see that with our own eyes. It leads to destruction. There's no ambiguity here. What most people like is not what the Bible condones. So if we go with the majority, we're more or less assured that we're going the wrong way. And it may seem right in many instances, but again, the Word of God is our authority and our standard. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You cannot live a life of indulging your natural propensities, inclinations, preferences, and expect to enter life at last. You cannot go with the flow of revenge or covetousness, pride, and living a life to indulge the senses and expect to enter heaven. There is nothing plainer from Scripture than that. You cannot expect to enter life as long as you allow your natural preferences to be indulged. And you cannot enter into eternal life without serious intention of arriving there, and serious love and determination to follow the paths of righteousness led by the Lord, but with a desire and purpose to follow Him. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, says David in Psalm 23. But David was willing to follow those paths. So the way that most like is a way that leads to destruction. And the curse of God hangs over that path. The sentence of death is written over the majority. They are set apart to destruction by the sentence of divine vengeance. And the most, as long as they continue that path, are consigned to the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. They will sink down into the bottomless pit, and the smoke of their torment will ascend up forever and ever. And the angels and the glorified saints will say, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It leads to destruction, to the blackness of darkness forever, the misery and isolation of being eternally separated from God. That path leads to destruction. It leads to weeping and despair. It leads to a gnawing worm, the conscience ever accusing. It leads to eternal confusion and torment. But you see, that's the easy road. It's easy to get there. You don't have to do much to coast along, and your path will terminate in hell. And friends, we must beware of supporting our natural desires and viewpoints with props that are false. You see, we may have an opinion that is contrary to the Word of God, and look out for ways to justify our view. The Lord Jesus, speaking about this straight and narrow way, "Few there be that find it," immediately speaks about false prophets. Why does he immediately go from there? From speaking about the broad way and the narrow way to speak about false prophets. Why? Because in the kingdom which he is setting up, the Christian era, there will be plenty of those who contradict his teaching about the straight and narrow way. They will say, well, the wide gate and the broad way in the church, so many are going that way. They're calling themselves Christians. They have an outward conformity. They get their baptism. They come to the table. They have communion. All is well. Just put your money in the collection. Make sure you confess to the priest, speaking of the Roman Catholic Church, and all is well. There will be many false prophets preaching peace, smooth and easy things. Just put your name there on the communion roll, and your name is written in heaven, so to speak. So they look very peaceful. They look like they are one of the sheep, but it's just sheep clothes. And within, they are ravening wolves. They're ready to devour you, devour your money and your conscience, and drag you into hell with them. But it's not just the Roman Catholic Church and their false doctrine and their false views of the sacraments, which amount to idolatry, but all those who pick and choose from the Bible, and they read portions but skip over other portions, and they preach about heaven and peace, but they neglect to preach about hell and judgment. And the Bible calls them dumb dogs that cannot bark. So these preachers who claim to preach the gospel, they are the true successors to the false prophets of the Old Testament. As Jeremiah speaks of them, chapter 5, verse 31, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so." They're just going right along with it. They're not like the Bereans, checking to see if these things are true. They hear the preacher talk about, "Believe in Jesus, you're saved. The whole congregation is saved. Oh, you may live a carnal life and may go on for years and years and look just like the world, but you have said the sinner's prayer. I see your name written in the Bible. You're saved." And it's false. It's false teaching. It's a destructive, damnable doctrine. It's the broad way that leads to destruction. "And my people love to have it so. Oh, well, our consciences are satisfied. We can have the world and our eternal security at the same time. What better world could we ask for? What a better situation." It's the broad way that leads to destruction. And many, many there be which go in thereat, that broad way. In the days of the moderates in the Church of Scotland, in the 1700s, there would be some hearers of the gospel, and they would be under soul concern, and their consciences would trouble, and they're awakened. The law is a reality to them. And they would go to the minister, and often the minister would say, "Oh, you're taking it too hard. Just go to the amusements of the world. Go see the clowns in the circus or whatever. Drown out your fears. It'll all go away. Dumb dogs that cannot bark." And thankfully, many people, I believe, could see through that. And they wouldn't listen to these moderate ministers. And they would be like the Bereans, who would go to the Word of God And they would go to sound ministers who proclaim the truth as it is in Jesus, knowing that the broad way leads to destruction. And the Lord Jesus tells us again, ye shall know them by their fruits. And we all know that the principle there, it's as plain as can be. We don't need to open it up. But you say, but some Christians, surely some backslide. Isn't that true? Yes, it is true, very sadly. And we're thankful that those who have backslidden may be restored. I will heal their backsliding. The Lord Jesus, the prophet proclaims the word of God in Hosea chapter 14. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And you may ask, how far can a Christian go in sin and still be a true believer? Well, that is not always an easy thing to consider or a question to answer. In fact, it may be rather dangerous to dwell on it. And it really doesn't benefit us too much. The grace of God is amazing, that is true. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that is true. But you know, the right attitude to take when it comes to these matters is don't dare make the experiment. It's very dangerous. And far from our finite minds try to get into all the deep things of how far a Christian can go in the state of grace preserved amidst the ocean of sin, to the very brink of destruction and still be saved. Far from us taking that line of thought, we should rather take the clear word of God as our infallible rule. And the Holy Spirit tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and many other places too, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. They will not. Going on living a life like that. And as long as the believer has backslidden into any one of those sins, goes on like that, he or she is in the category of, we don't know. It doesn't look like very good. As long as they're in that kind of lifestyle, they're in the category of the unbeliever. Going on like that, they will be destroyed in hell forever. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And we are professing to believe the Bible, and it's by the Bible we must go. And it's not for us to get into those gray areas. It's not very profitable. How far can a Christian go into sin and still be a true believer in Christ? The Lord Jesus tells us, by their fruits ye shall know them. And you see, the point being, if we're on the broad way that leads to destruction, we might like to think we're not going to destruction. We may be on the broad way, but surely there's so many people, and it's really unthinkable that so many people would end up in hell. That's I can't accept that. And so we try to interpret the Bible in a different way, or we're just wishful thinking, hoping for the best, but all to our detriment. Again, the Word of God describes clearly people who think just like that. I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. We read in the Old Testament about God warning people not to think like that. It's a fatal mistake and deception. And you see, it may not be easy for some who know better, and perhaps have grown up in the church, and then just to go off into the world and say, well, it can't be really that bad after all. I can indulge in these worldly entertainments. And look, my conscience doesn't trouble me too much. I sometimes have a bit of fear about what will happen in the end. But in the long run, they are successful in silencing their conscience and deceiving themselves. He feedeth on ashes, we read in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 20. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul. He's deceiving himself, and he's not able to save his soul from destruction. Nor say, he's not able to say either, is there not a lie in my right hand? The prodigal son was awakened. He knew that he had been deceiving himself. He's not going to get very far in wasting his money and living a riotous life. Well, God was merciful to him, and the famine came and helped to awaken him. But he realized it was a lie all along, a lie in his right hand. And there are souls today, and they're not awake, and they're not saying, there's a lie in my right hand. I'm cherishing a lie. I'm believing a lie. I'm living a lie, a life of falsehood. It's all a dream. I'm chasing shadows. It's unreal. There's no reality here. It's all a lie, contrary to the truth of God's word. The broad way leads to destruction, and that is the truth of God. And just because many are going that way does not mean there is safety. There's no safety in numbers in that sense. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety, assuming that they base their counsel upon God's word. But the Lord Jesus is telling us that many are going that broad way that leads to destruction. And he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Just because we have our names written in our Bibles does not mean we're on the way to heaven. Just because we come to church every Sabbath morning and evening does not mean we are coming to Christ in heaven. Those who do the will of God are the ones who are on the way to heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We had the highest office in the church. We did the most wonderful works, and we brought multitudes to Christianity. That doesn't matter. Many are going to be like that. Many will be surprised on the judgment day. Many. That even after their profession of the truth, they end up on the left-hand side of Christ. The wrong side, the side that leads to destruction. Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Remember, Noah was, and his family, the few amongst the world of the antediluvians, people who lived before the flood that were saved. Few. The many were drowned, swallowed up in the deluge, the flood of wrath sent to wipe clean the face of the earth. The broad way leads to destruction, and there is plenty of room in the yawning gulf of hell to receive everyone who is content to go with the flow in the smooth and easy path, coasting along that broad highway. It terminates in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, the second death. Jesus will say to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and these will go away into eternal punishment. There's only one other alternative that brings true safety, and that is the narrow way to life. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This in the second place, the narrow way to life. Well, the straight gate means narrow gate. So narrow, it's almost as if hardly anyone could fit through it. Now you say, I thought the gospel is offered to everyone. And that is true. Christ is calling all of us to come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's the free offer of the gospel. And how wide is that offer? Well, we may say it's as wide as the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so the one is the offer, and that's wide. And I'm not sure that we can call it a gate. But the gate, the entrance into life, where we have eternal life and spiritual life and glory, that is small. It's narrow. And how narrow is it? Well, again, the offer is wide. We're invited to come to Christ. Everyone is invited to come. But those who come to one Savior. And those who come receive spiritual life from one Spirit. So the gate to enter life is as narrow as the new birth. Those who enter heaven have been born again. So that is how narrow and exclusive the gate is, as exclusive as being born again. The Lord Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must enter in at the straight gate of the new birth. You must experience that thorough spiritual purification by the operation of the Holy Spirit. How narrow is the gate? It is as narrow as the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Have we heard that? My friend, you will not enter heaven unless you are born again. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you are cleansed within by the Spirit. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And there are new desires. There's a new love, new hope, new fear. And that is why all those who profess to be the disciples of Christ must examine themselves. And we know about visible believers, visible church members. They've been baptized. They make a profession to believe the doctrines of Christ and obey the commandments of Christ. And there ought to be sincerity in that. It would be a lie in their right hand if there was no desire to believe the doctrines and submit to the precepts of Christ. It would be a lie. There needs to be a hearty desire. I'm not saying saving. It may be a very fine line, but it needs to be real, a resolve to enter into an open and professed engagement to be holy and only the Lord's. Do we, friends, as a church, really know what that means? But every one of us, communicant members, baptized members, all members of the church, all professing disciples, and even those who are not professing to be disciples of Christ, all of us are to examine ourselves. And we should all examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, whether we have been the subjects of the work of the Spirit implanting spiritual life in our souls. Are we born again? And if we are not born again, we need to lay to heart, we cannot enter heaven without being born again. That's the gate. It's a straight gate. Ye must be born again. That is the word of the faithful and true witness who is faithful to our souls. And no one cares more about us than the Lord Jesus Christ. He will tell us the truth. He is not a false teacher, prophesying smooth things. He tells us the truth. The gate is as narrow as faith in Christ, true saving faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It is not by our good works. We cannot accumulate enough good deeds to say, here are my good works, now the gates of heaven will open for me. No, that's the broad way. Just do your best, and as long as your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then all is well. That is a lie. The straight gate, the narrow gate, and even in one sense, the message of the free offer of the gospel is narrow. One Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Only by Christ. He alone is the door. And there is none other name, not Allah, not Buddha, Hinduism, Sikhism. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the gate. It is the truth. It is Christ himself offered to us as our prophet, to teach us, our priest, to save us, our king, to rule over us. And if, friends, we are saying, yes, I'll come to Christ, but only to his priesthood, just to save me by his blood, but I'm not going to worry too much about his office as prophet or his office as king, you're dividing Christ. And Christ will not be divided. He offers himself to us. One Savior, prophet, priest, and king, to teach us, to save us, to rule over us. He says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The gate is straight or narrow, and the way is narrow. We enter in that small gate, and it's not, oh, we relax now, because now it's all wide and easy and smooth and easy going. No, we enter in, it's narrow and hard. We continue on, it's still narrow and difficult. The gate is narrow. The way is narrow. We enter in denying ourselves. We enter in with the flesh being destroyed. The old man, the principle of sin, must be subdued and conquered. And we go on like that. We go on mortifying the deeds of the body. We go on renouncing self, denying ourselves from start to finish. No, there is no latitudinarianism in the gospel. People like latitude, permissiveness. We are not libertines. Think as you please. Think what you want. Live the way you want. No. Jesus is telling us the truth. He himself, my friends, is saying to us, the way is narrow. Yes, the Lord Jesus makes us free indeed. And there's perfect liberty in him. It's the perfect law of liberty. And if he gives us a new heart, we have laid that to heart. We need it to be born again, and we desire that, and he gives us grace. Then there's a love for his ways and a love for his commandments. And we see the freedom of it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And how wonderful is that freedom? It's freedom from the curse, freedom from destruction. It's freedom to serve him. It's freedom from the yoke of the devil. It's freedom from the slavish pursuit of the world. It's freedom to serve the Lord Jesus. But it's not liberty to sin. And so it's a way of repentance. Repentance is turning from sin to God. Oh, do we desire that? Are there a few among us who really, really, really want to repent? who are grieved over their sins and have a full purpose of an endeavor, they try to keep God's commandments, repentance. Without that, there is no entering into life. Without obedience, there is no entering into life. It's obedience, delighting in God's ways and having respect to all of God's commandments. That is the narrow way. The narrow way, again, includes self-denial. Multitudes would skip over it. Oh, I'll believe in Jesus, but I don't want to deny myself. I'll make up my own rules. I'll just go where I like to go. The great contest is, in conversion, whose will shall be followed? Our will or God's will? And true conversion is in a surrender of the heart and will to God. And again, as if it were not plain enough, one of the Puritans or Reformers said that self-denial is the ABCs of Christianity. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And the Lord Jesus is reminding us to count the cost. Don't think that being a Christian is going to be easy for you. We're just going to stumble if we think that. He is telling us, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. It leads to life. That's what we lay hold of. That's the one advantage that's brought before us here. That's sufficient. Here in this little portion, we're not told about how pleasant the path is, the company of the Lord's people, the joys that we receive along the way and the assurances of God's love. Yes, we know these are there. But we're looking at God's word here in this little portion of Scripture. And the one thing that has the advantage of the straight gate and narrow way is it leads to life. That's good enough. Are you here today and saying, I want life? I want to be saved at whatever cost. Well, that's a good sign. And there are very few that are like that. Few there be that find it. The broad way, many are rushing in that direction. But the narrow way goes against the grain. It goes against our flesh. It is contrary to our natural tastes. No one likes to get hurt. No one likes to be rejected. I, for one, don't like to be rejected. Who does? I don't know that many loners. We like to go with the crowds. We like to go with the flow. We like company. But the Lord is telling us, few there be, few. And when we say to him, are there few that be saved? As one did ask him, he gets right to the point, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Because if we talk about many, what is going to happen with the many? The Lord says to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Many will seek to enter in and will not be able. Spurgeon talks about how people on their deathbed, they've lived an ungodly life. They despise the preaching. But when they get sick and they're about to die, the nurse says, call for the minister. And the man says, yes, get the minister, get Spurgeon. And so he comes. And often, it's right then, their mind goes. He wanted to come in, but he was not able. He couldn't pray. He couldn't seek. That was the end. And the man died before Spurgeon really had an opportunity to say anything to him. Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's what many will do. They see the gray hairs come and the wrinkles appear. They see they have about 5 to 10 years left to live. Then they'll get serious and still be tempted to go the broad way. Until the very last moment, many will say, "Can you pray with me? You think I'm blessed? Maybe I'm saved after all." And for the most part, it's a delusion. Few there be that find it. And all of us should lay this to heart. The right attitude is, aren't most people going to be saved? Or, well, they made a profession, most likely they'll be saved. Oh, he died a drunkard, but you know, maybe at the last minute he was saved. No, the right attitude is, "Lord, is it I?" Out of that narrow circle of 12 men who all professed to be disciples of Christ, one of them was a devil. And we know the application. Let us lay it to heart. And all the disciples were asking, "Lord, is it I?" Even Judas asked that. So even if we're outwardly asking questions like that, it doesn't mean that we're converted. Just because we preach, just because we hear, just because we come to the table, just because we're baptized, doesn't mean that we're saved. "Lord, is it I? Am I going to betray thee? Am I going to fall away? Am I going to backslide and never return and fall from my profession?" Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, the duty to enter in at the strait gate. The Lord Jesus is commanding us, enter. He doesn't say think about it. He calls us, urges us, strive to enter in at the strait gate. He gives us the reasons. He would have us think about those reasons. The first reason that we should enter in at the strait gate is because the way that most people are going leads to destruction. And the second reason that he gives that we should enter in the strait gate is because it is straight. It is narrow. I've told you, don't be surprised. And don't be surprised that after you enter, it's still going to be narrow. And you're still going to be reaching obstacles and encountering difficulties. There was John the Baptist. And he preached faithfully. And yet, he did not receive an open reward here on earth. He was still in prison. And he didn't seem to even receive a commendation from the Lord Jesus, but he died a martyr. And that was his entrance into glory. But the Lord Jesus is telling us to count the cost, to think about these things, to weigh the options, so to speak. Look at the alternatives. Set the one over against the other. Here's the broad way. It looks so easy. So many going there. I would like to just go with the flow too and have so many people to be my friends. But there's just one thing, and that's sufficient to dismiss it altogether. It leads to destruction. So why even bother thinking about all the benefits? It leads to destruction. Forget all about it. But here's the narrow way. Oh, it looks hard. It's difficult. But it leads to life. So why would anyone question the way to go? It is obvious. But you see, we're hardened in our hearts. And we're so easily tempted to swerve to the wrong path. We need to think about these things and lay them to heart and count the cost. And don't be surprised and don't stumble when some people do fall away. And only a few are left going that path. Don't be surprised and don't stumble and don't turn back when your sister-in-law goes back. Or when a fellow disciple goes back. Or someone you knew and you preached along with, he goes back. Don't be surprised. Don't stumble. Don't you fall away. But strive to enter, because you still have an old sinful nature. You have a devil that confronts you, the world around you, obstacle after obstacle. Press on. That needs to be your attitude and your resolve. I press toward the mark, Paul says. I keep under my body. I subdue the flesh. And my natural desires and propensities and inclinations, they must be curbed. They must be restrained. Some of them must be absolutely destroyed. And I must follow the way of holiness, the way of life, obedience, repentance, faith in Christ, looking unto Jesus. Strive to enter and be thankful that Jesus, who is a faithful and true witness and warns us plainly, is also the beloved of his people, the good shepherd who leads his sheep, calling them one by one, protecting them from the wolves. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to save his people from their sins and to bring them to heaven at last. And so, though the way may be hard, yet you, child of God, have a loving master. And as we go on proceeding, surrounded by the dangers of a hostile world, yet we're to lean and lean again on the arm of the beloved, because Christ is not only the author but the finisher of our faith, and he will bring us to our journey's end. And you, friend, who have not entered that straight gate, what are we to say to you? Do we need to say more? Lay to heart the danger. Be awakened to the lie that is in your right hand. And realize that God is not mocked, but true to his word and all his threatenings, just as he is true to his promises. Choose life and not death. Choose the straight gate and the narrow way, and reject the wide gate and the broad way. Follow Christ, come to Jesus, seek him and the new birth. Come to him for rest for your soul and strength for the journey, taking his yoke, because he will help you. He will help you go forward and reach that place of eternal safety. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. May he bless his word. Let us pray.